Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, who shows this?
Dada.
And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, joined on this fine, little frigid, little cold where I live, Monday afternoon. Harrison, what's the weather over there? Like, it's 42 degrees outside right now where I live.
It's a little nicer than 42. I think it's somewhere in the 70s and sunny. It's California cold. So it's like, you know, maybe you put on a sweatshirt if you go for a walk at night.
When I go home this time of year, if I ever do go home this time of year, it drives me insane how big jackets people wear. Back home, I was like, you don't need a jacket as big as you're currently wearing. I'm telling you, like, I come from a place where you actually need that big of a jacket. And I'm like, you're sweating inside that thing. Like, go ahead, put on like a regular sweater. You're all right. Just put on a hoodie.
I sometimes wear a weatherproof jacket outdoors when I'm going for walks, but that's just because like I got that shit on, like not because, you know.
Yeah. It's a choice. It's a life choice that, you know, you make. And I mean, like, you also have zero insulation, right? Like, you're a very, very skinny person.
Not as skinny as when you left, but yeah, I've I have like blog father bod or something like that, you know. It's like I have all my blog children that I have to worry about and put on some weight.
You just blame whatever weight you've gained on Kirk. Like, he's like,
it's Kirk's fault. That's what I was going to say. I saw that Kyrie had a bulging disc and I was terrified of the typos that were going to come out of that.
Today on the show, we're going to be talking about the Lakers backup center situation. We are at that time of the year where this is a national
all
story.
Yeah.
No, but I feel like it's specifically louder as we get closer to the trade deadline, right? Because after that, then it's no longer addressable, really. so we're going to talk about that, that debate that is going on. It's been really interesting that on something this specific, you don't normally see the chasm that exists between what like the Lakers seem to think they need and what like the fan base seems to think they need. So we're going to talk about that. We'll talk also about Jared Vanderbilt and the role that he plays, or unfortunate term to use there because he doesn't play very often, but like
that was unnecessary. That was mean. You didn't.
But Jared Vanderbilt might return soon, and that's something that the Lakers seem to be pointing to as a reason why they don't need to invest in the backup center spot. We'll talk about, like, I think there's a lot of interesting meat on that bone. So we'll talk about that as well. And then, you know, we'll wrap up the show, not only with the super comments that might pop up over the course of the show, but Harrison, you and I are recording this 35 games somehow already into the season. The next time you and I record in a couple weeks from now, the Lakers will have passed that or crossed that midway point threshold. So we'll get our like mid-season review or report out of the way today as well. A quick reminder, please do hit that subscribe button wherever it is that you get your podcasts. And if you guys are watching live, actually, Avery is currently watching live. She is in the other room right now. Yeah, she's like literally watching right now. Hi, kiddo. And she is, you know, because I told her, I was like, hey, I'm going to be working. She's like, you're going to do a show? And I'm like, yeah. And I go, do you want to watch? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, you're going to be interested for the amount of time that it takes to say your name. And then you can go ahead and change it to whatever channel that you want to change it to. So, kiddo, we'll talk to you later.
You give her full channel access?
I think she's,
You have parental control set up on YouTube, I hope?
She's on my channel right now, so no. We'll see what I walk into when I go. All right, so here's the thing, though. My algorithm, so I basically only use YouTube for background noise. Like, you know, you have, and so I'll set, like, I have, like, the top search on my YouTube search thing is Harry Potter ambience, because it's literally like these people. Yeah, it's like, because I only use it like background noise when I write. Other than if I'm using YouTube, that's all that I basically use it for. So it's like a bunch of these like 3 hour long videos of the Hogwarts Legacy, like version of Hogwarts set to the film score. And that's what I usually write with. So I don't think Avery's going to get into any trouble. Famous last words. All right, so let's go ahead though, and talk about this Lakers backup center situation. I think it's pretty rare that we come to a consensus in the people covering the team, the fans watching the team, the fans who interact with those who are creating content about the team. I think everybody seems to agree that Jackson Hayes and whatever is left of Christian Wood isn't good enough, you know, in regards to the Lakers backup center spot, especially with JJ Redick not appearing to trust Christian Koloko all that much, who I think is a better basketball player right now than Jackson Hayes. It's weird though, because like we seem to feel that way, and the Lakers seem to feel a very different way. Let's start, Harrison, with how you feel about the backup center spot. Do you find yourself agreeing with the consensus on this front, or do you think that this is one of those like situations where the team has actually played relatively well, and this is the thing that everybody is going to yell about because they don't have anything else to yell about?
I mean, I do think that there's a certain degree of, because all of us grew up on like the Gasol Bynum Lakers, or, you know, you grew up on the Shaq Lakers, who did sort of play like, I mean, it's weird to say small ball with Shaq, but they actually, Robert Horry was not your traditionally sized power forward for that time, and like provided more spacing than you normally got out of that spot. So that's what I mean. But the Lakers have always had dominant big men. And so, you know, of course, Lakers fans are going to be more predisposed, myself included, to if they run up against like a Nikola Jokic or, you know, one of these like monsters that is in the league, to like
Steven
hit the
Adams
button
that's just
like,
did it to him.
That's like, get a traditional center, you know?
Yeah.
Steven Adams, you know, lower level, but yeah, you're right. I mean, the Lakers struggle.
He just did, like, he's lower level, but he just did it to him. Like, yeah. he just was a reminder.
Yeah. And AD struggles with those sorts of guys that just force him to constantly be boxing out, because he wants to go block shots. He wants to go, you know, like affect stuff defensively. And then the Lakers don't have other people to sort of pick up the slack for him on the boards. Like, LeBron's not going to do that at this phase of his career. Rui is not going to do that, even when apparently he has 30 seconds to prove to JJ that he deserves to play in the second half. You know, it's just that they don't have like a lot of strong gang rebounders. And so, you know, I understand the desire for a traditional center. I understand the desire for someone to sort of be able to take those big physical guys so the AD can help out from like the help side, so that it's not like, hey, you know, we got Rui guarding Jokic or whoever and sort of doing a bad job, but holding up for long enough for AD to come over and, you know, affect the shot or something like that. And so, like, I get why people want a big, but I also think that JJ has sort of shown us that he's probably not going to play one, you know? Like, yeah. I don't think Hayes is good, and I'm not sure if Coloco's good or not. I sort of, like, it's hard for me to, like, harangue JJ too much for not playing him when I don't think that he's all that great. And so, but JJ so far has seemed to show an inclination towards small ball, which would sort of make sense with, you know, I know you guys mentioned on the show that he should be as blank of a slate as any coach coming in, but how blank of a slate is really any coach, especially one that played high level basketball? Like JJ, just because he hasn't head coached in the NBA before, he has ideas about what works in the NBA. And, you know, you can, unlike most head coaches, you can go back and find hours of his public thoughts on what works in the NBA. And yeah. A lot of it is around shooting and how important that is to have on the floor and how important it is to be skilled. And so I don't think that if they trade for some big bruising backup center, that JJ is going to play him a ton of minutes, that they're going to play him alongside whoever this theoretical person is, a lot alongside Anthony Davis. And so I can sort of, if you're Rob, like, I can get why you would be like, I don't know that I want to give up assets for a really expensive player that my coach is probably not going to utilize or appreciate that much anyway.
I'm literally writing about this for Clutch Points right now. You know, and I'm writing about the role that Vanderbilt plays in all of this discussion too, and the role that the Lakers see for Vanderbilt whenever he comes back, or if he comes back, all of that good stuff.
Have any of your sources told you that they can't judge this team without Jared Vanderbilt yet?
All of them. Every single one of them. Like, yeah,
any line, even from league sources, weirdly, it's the even people not working for the Lakers are like, well, you can't judge this team without Jared Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I think one accidentally said Trevor Ariza's name one time, and it was just like, whoops, of course I have it. My bad, everybody.
Yeah.
But like, all right, can we do like a quick sidebar on this? I want to ask you, the Big J journalist, you know, this question, because, you know how skeptical I am of stuff, right? And I, in my reporting, like, all I can do is basically like report what I am told, right? That's like, that's all you can do. And I also don't want to really like undercut my own reporting on a lot of this stuff. But it's also like, if you get told something that is so ridiculous as part of that reporting, like, what am I supposed to do there? Like, I'm trying to figure that out. Like, the way that I've gone about it is basically like, all right, I have my written content and my written reporting, and then I have like the tweets that I fire off that kind of like bridge that gap between my written reporting and then like my podcasting, which is a lot more conversational, and I can offer a lot more context and a lot more nuance on some of those things. What would you like when like somebody says, yeah, we can't really judge this team until Gabe Vincent comes back again? Like, what am I supposed to do there?
So my response to that from a source would be literally what I just did right now. And I would, yeah, I would probably laugh, which, you know, your mileage may vary as a response, you know, from people, whether or not they're going to consider that polite conduct or someone that you still want to talk to anymore. But, you know, I think
with like with the vast majority of my like the sources or the people I talk to, they know who I am. They know.
Yeah, they're not like expecting you to kiss their ass.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, look, you can convey what you have been told while also saying that you personally do not think that that makes a whole lot of sense or agree with it. It's like, if somebody was leaking to me, it's like, well, you know, the Lakers, like, they just aren't sure that they can get a trade done at the trade deadline this year because they don't have any first round picks left. It's like, well, wait, but they do.
But you know,
like, that's like factually untrue. You do have first round picks. Like, I wouldn't just say like, this is why the Lakers think that. I would be like, the Lakers think that they can't make a deal because of this, and they are idiots, you know?
And then, well, that would probably lead to me
I probably wouldn't go that far, but you know, it's like, you add the line in the reporting of like, this is incorrect. Like, the Lakers
Right. Like, it's like narrator. They do have first rounders. Yeah.
Yeah, this is obviously more subjective than that. Like, you can't just be like, well, it's factually untrue that the Lakers don't need a backup center, because, I mean, how do you factually prove that one way or the other? Yeah. You know, it's like, you can say that maybe the best version of this team is the small ball version, just more coalesced, more time to gel with Vando back, with Gabe Vincent back, you know, with Jalen Hood Schifino back. They, you know, Bronny's
they know
had
not
half
to
year
say
develop
that.
In
they,
the G
they
League.
They know, like, yeah.
So, like, I think you can toe the line between, like, there are a lot of good writers. Like, Zach Lowe was really great at this in terms of, like, inserting his own analysis in amidst reporting, or inserting reporting in amidst his own analysis. It's like, hey, yeah. I think this, but here's
I'm
what
a lot
team
better at the latter.
About their
I'm a
reasoning,
lot better at, like, yeah,
or why they're doing it this way, you know. And it's like, and I respect that viewpoint. I just disagree. You know?
Yeah. I'm a lot better at, like, here's analysis and then here's what people are saying about, like, you know, this than I am, or maybe not better, but comfortable doing that. Whereas, like, yeah, like,
I
when
think
I'm
as
still
long
trying
as
to figure
push
out
back to them during the reporting process, so that they're not getting blindsided by, like, you're, you know, if they, if
yeah, why didn't you bring that up?
Yeah, if someone were to hypothetically tell you, you know, they're like, well, we just don't think that we can judge this team without Gabe Vincent, and like they were totally serious, and then you're like, oh yeah, okay, sounds good, and then you wrote it, and you're like, and that is an idiotic position in your story, and you didn't say that to them, then they would have a right to feel some type of way. But if you're not saying anything that you wouldn't say to their face, like, I don't see any problem with you being like, hey, you know, like, I do not agree with this stance that they are taking, but this is how they feel about it, and so we have to operate within sort of it's like our old friend Aaron used to say, you know, like, you have to deal with reality on reality's terms, and if the reality is that they are not willing to give up assets for a big, then it's not worth us spending a whole lot of time discussing, you know, hypothetical big candidates that they're going to go get, or arguing about it, because it's like, hey, it's not going to happen. What is the best that they can do on an alternative path? Nothing.
So
as them for like, hey, like, if you think that's dumb, you can be like, hey, I think that's dumb. But
yeah,
it's only so productive to operate in like a fantasy world where they're going to do the things that you think are smart, you know?
Right. Well, especially when we're talking about the Lakers, and they and I never seem to agree on anything.
Very little.
But like, all right, so case in point then, right? So there is optimism out there that Jared Vanderbilt might be coming back in the next like week or so.
Well, right? you did hear JJ. He clarified this was real progress this time, as opposed to the fake progress
the previous progress, you know, was like
fake. The previous progress was like, we made that up just to mess
neener,
with you.
Neener, neener, progress. Yeah.
This is just real progress. So anytime you have to give the addendum, no, this is real progress, not a great sign for how things have been going to that point.
So, I'm like, what happens if like the real progress?
They're like, no. Let me clarify. We're not lying to you this time.
Yeah. Well, and then like, if this doesn't turn out well, it's like, all right, that last time was like, this is like a super duper triple dog dare real.
This is super califragilistic real progress.
Yeah. So, all right. So, but like, this actually works out well. Obviously, my advice to anybody who asks me about Jared Vanderbilt's health and availability is to go get help. Because if you're asking me about Jared Vanderbilt's health, like, this is a dire situation. He hasn't played basketball in upwards of almost a year, almost exactly a year. And so, like, my approach to Jared Vanderbilt's health and availability is, I will believe that he is healthy and available when I see him literally healthy and available on a basketball court. Because that's the only, I think, prudent way to go about
this. Like 10 games, you know,
that too, right? Like that too,
because we've seen him make short-term returns, and then it's like, oh, it flared up again. He can't play, and that sucks, you know. But like, I'm not saying that he's at fault or blaming him for it, but it's just
no, it's just the reality.
This has clearly been an extremely nagging injury, and it's like, I'm not going to count on you to be in the lineup long term until you have been in the lineup long term at this point.
Yeah. So, all right. So what I was going to say is that, like, there is some optimism that Vando could return, you know, as soon as this weekend, even. However, there, and like, as that might be the case, the Lakers really want to see what the rotation looks like with Vando taking basically all of Jackson Hayes' minutes. And, you know, we've already seen, I think, the kind of basketball JJ Redick would prefer the Lakers play. He started the season switching everything. He, the first game that they had Dorian Finney-Smith available, Jackson Hayes caught a DNP CD. You know, Christian Koloko is like now completely out of the rotation. Even though, again, I have thought he's been relatively solid this year. I don't know what this means for Christian Wood. Like, if and when he comes back, I don't know if he'll have minutes ready for him whenever he comes back. And so, like, you know, with Vando coming back, I think it's pretty clear, and Raj and I talked about this the other day, last night, we talked about how, like, it's pretty clear that Jared Vanderbilt is probably going to be the center. And I asked around, and that seems...
Well, and DFS.
What's that?
And DFS.
Yeah. Like, the backup center. Like those guys are going to be, you know, primarily backup centers. And so I asked around about it, you know, in preparation for this thing that I'm writing for Clutch Points, and then this conversation too. And like, yeah, it does seem like those guys are going to be kind of the backup center. And that's kind of the, to use a Rob Pelinka-ism here, that's the big acquisition here, you know, at that position, is getting Jared Vanderbilt back and healthy.
That's like making a trade.
It is. No, you know what? It's even better than making a trade, Harrison, because you didn't have to send anybody out. Let's start here. What do you think about that approach? Like, what do you think? Because on the year, the Lakers are the 27th worst rebounding team in the league, just in terms of rebounds per 100 possessions. Going even smaller seems to exacerbate that issue.
Just certainly does when Rui's playing the center minutes.
It's true. So, like, what do you do with all of this? Like, how do you feel about the notion of the Lakers waiting for Jared Vanderbilt to get healthy and then basing what they do in the backup center market or in addressing that potential hole, a hole that I don't think they even recognize in the same way that you and I do, with Jared Vanderbilt potentially coming back healthy?
Well, that's a big if, you know. And if Jared Vanderbilt, let's say he does return this weekend, you know, and so then it's like you have where we're about a month out from the trade deadline today. You have several weeks ahead of the trade deadline to evaluate that version of the roster and decide, okay, do we still need this sort of big bruiser for certain matchups? Or does this team look so good that we don't think that we can find any minutes for that type of player because they'd be so situational and so break glass in case of emergency that we're comfortable having that be, you know, Jackson Hayes or Christian Wood or, you know, whoever doesn't get sent out at the trade deadline or Christian Koloko, you know? But I think that the flaws in it are just that, you know, that's an extremely limited sample size with which to just be decide, hey, you know, all this basketball that we've played the last several years that has shown that we have like sort of an issue against bigger bruising centers and, you know, really athletic sort of physically imposing teams, we're going to throw all that out because for 3 weeks Dorian Finney-Smith and Jared Vanderbilt rebounded really well. You know, it's maybe that does work out long term, but it's also not a huge sample size over which to make that decision. But the thing that I guess I would say that I think I'm more aligned with the Lakers on than you is I don't know if giving up. I mean, it depends on the assets. Like if they're just giving up second round picks for a bruising center, then sure. But I don't know who that guy is that's not just like a massive price tag that doesn't make sense in terms of how many players you'd have to send out to make it happen and contributors to the rotation. It's like, you know, you could go get like Vooch theoretically, but does that, like, you have to send out Rui in that trade And is Vooch going to play enough for that to be worthwhile? Like, plus assets? I don't know.
I saw that rumor floating around here today. And first off, I don't necessarily trust the source.
I'm just using I'm using hypotheticals. I'm but saying, like, hypothetically, that's a guy who we know is available. We know, like, Nurkic is available. Do the Lakers want Nurkic? Like,
very available.
Yeah, I can't imagine they do. Did you see that the Sun said that he's not on the trade market? It's like, that's like me leaking that it's like, that's like me telling someone, it's like, no, this trash can inside my house, you can't have the contents inside of it.
Right.
You know?
It's like
no one wanted that, dude. You didn't have to let us know that it wasn't available, you know?
Matt Ishbia has seen, like, how Walker Kessler's price just keeps going up because, like, you know, essentially he isn't available. And he's like, well, wait, what if we try that with Yusuf Nurkic? You can't have him.
If it would be like if after I got my failing gallbladder removed, I was like, no, but you can't have it. It's too valuable to this team.
To your point about, like, this extremely small sample size. So I just, while you were talking, really quickly looked at the schedule from, say, Saturday through to the trade deadline. Very notably, the Lakers don't play the Denver Nuggets. So, like, you're going to be, like, making this decision on this identity shift because that's what it is, right? Like, it's going again, you know, it's leaning all the way into, I guess we have to start calling it Redick ball, you know, and moving completely and utterly away from, you know, how Frank Vogel preferred to coach the team and how Darvin Ham, I think, prefers to coach the team. And now going in this very different direction, like, yeah, because January 11th. So January 11th is a game against San Antonio. They play against San Antonio again on the 13th. Miami, Brooklyn, LA, Washington, Boston, Golden State, Charlotte, Philly, Washington, New York, LA, Golden State, Indiana, and then Utah is February 11th. I believe the deadline is on the 11th, right?
February 6th, I think.
Oh, 6th, even earlier. So
I'm fairly certain it's the 6th.
I think you're right. Yeah, they always want to get it in before All-Star weekend now. Yeah. Right? So that last game will be against Golden State. They don't play Denver again till February 22nd, you know? So, like, what do we, how can we decide whether or not that approach is actually the right one when the only big team that you're going to see throughout all of that is Philly?
Yeah.
New York, kind of.
I mean, they're big across the board. I don't know if they're like big. I mean, Kat has been rebounding like sort of like a monster this year.
Yeah, the Clippers. The Clippers are fairly big. You play them February 4th, but everybody else
has always weirdly been an AD stop.